Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 303. We are going to unlock secrets of Disney's Space Mountain.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you joining us here every week on the show. We are just a couple of Disney nerds talking about Disney.
That's the way to go do it, right?
And we hope you like it.
We hope you like it as our tagline.
Yeah, we do a show for you every single week here. We also have our YouTube channel, which we do. Sometimes we record these podcasts and put them on our YouTube channel, but we also do shorter versions of the podcast and other topics over there. So if you haven't yet, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Unlocking the Magic and you can hit that subscribe button. Every Tuesday, we have a new video that comes out over there for sure.
And we're just having a lot of fun. We hope that we remain your little escape to Walt Disney World or wherever. And again, we hope you like it.
Yeah, the podcast for us and coming on here and doing these podcasts is a way for us to remember our trips to Disney and look forward to new ones that are coming up in the future. And we hope that's what you get out of the podcast as well.
All right, my favorite attraction, hands down, Space Mountain. You know, a trip to Magic Kingdom isn't complete unless I ride.
I don't think you could go to the Magic Kingdom without riding Space Mountain. Like, there's many attractions that Connie Irving could go to Space Mountain. Constantina.
We're getting fancy.
Could go to Space Mountain. Go to Magic Kingdom and not go on, but Space Mountain is just not one of them.
It's not happening.
That and possibly the People Mover.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah.
Hands down. I don't think, in general, a trip to Magic Kingdom is incomplete unless I visit Tomorrowland.
Yes.
I think that's the thing. It just brings me back to my childhood, and to be honest, it just hasn't lost its luster. It's more than just the nostalgic feeling. It's that Space Mountain, to me, is still, after all these years, I feel like it's still ahead of its time.
It just feels like it's ahead of its time, even if it's not necessarily ahead of its time. Like, right next door, they're building Tron, which is going to be an amazing attraction.
Yeah.
And even with Tron coming to the Magic Kingdom, Space Mountain just makes you feel like you're heading into the future and heading to space, even though the attraction's been around for such a long time.
We're going to zoom through the galaxy. That's one of my favorite things to do. When
zoom through the galaxy?
Yep. That's my favorite thing is when we're boarding, I like to imagine and have conversations with the kids. I probably annoy them at this stage, but I like to pretend and ask them where we're about to head to. Like, where is your rocket ship taking you today, girls? Is it taking you to Venus? Are you going to that spa that you wanted to hit up at Saturn? Where are you going? I just have so much fun, and I love the way Disney describes it. It says, dip and careen into the inky blackness as a futuristic soundtrack echoes all around you. Fly past shooting stars and celestial satellites. Roar past streaking orbs of light, wayward comets, and migrant meteors. Feel the pull of gravity as you're drawn into a swirling wormhole.
Well, that sounds good.
So much fun. My favorite way to hit off the day. We usually do go here early in the morning, even though I would say if you're hitting up Space Mountain first thing in the morning, if you have or haven't had breakfast yet, it's still kind of iffy.
You know what? So you say that. The girls did a podcast.
Yeah.
They have their own podcast. Our girls have their own podcast called Diz Kids Podcast. Go check it out on iTunes.
Little plug there for them.
Yeah, a little free advertising here.
Yeah.
But they did a podcast about going on an attraction after we eat. And it doesn't necessarily bother me that much going on attractions after we eat. Like, it depends. If we eat at the Liberty Tree Tavern, maybe I don't want to go on Space Mountain.
Which we've done.
But if I have a snack or if I eat a regular meal at a quick service, I'm going on Space Mountain. It's not that intense. The darkness makes it feel a lot more intense than it actually is.
We unlocked this attraction way back in our early days. So I think it's in the early 100 episodes where our audio wasn't the greatest. I was listening back and I thought, you know, I really need to redo this because it is my favorite attraction. And I just didn't feel like we did it's true. There's a lot of great nuggets in there and a lot of great information, but the audio quality, you know, we were just starting out, so it wasn't the greatest. But
you gotta start with what you got sometimes.
Yeah, so we're gonna incorporate a lot of what we learned then, but also give you an interesting and different spin on it today, so that it's not something that if you just listen to that episode or if you remember that episode, that this one won't be exactly the same.
Yeah, and I do enjoy these unlocking episodes because every time we do an unlocking episode, you do a little research. We record this podcast here, and I remember these little facts and nuggets as we're going through the attraction. And if you listen to this podcast for any length of time, if you've been listening with us for a while, you know that I get antsy and don't like to sit still.
You also don't like doing the same thing again.
Not only do I not like doing the same thing again, but I hate the wait times, right? But sometimes when we do these unlocking episodes, the next time I go on the attraction, I think about our show and like the little nuggets that we talked about on the show, and it makes the time go by for me faster. Like, for instance, when we unlocked Haunted Mansion and we talked to Roldy Crump, the wallpaper is something I always stare at every time we go in there because that was like a little nugget that I learned about in those shows. So that's why I enjoy the unlocking episodes.
Well, we got to start with the concept, which we have done before, but this is something that's really important because it starts off with Walt Disney himself. Walt Disney's Matterhorn bobsleds, actually. So the bobsleds were the first in of its kind as a tubular coaster back in the day. And it was ultimately such a success that Walt knew he could bring another thrilling attraction to Disneyland. And during the early 1960s, with the fascination of space travel, the idea of blending a thrilling coaster with space seemed to be the perfect fit.
Yeah, John Hench actually was commissioned by Walt to design Tomorrowland. And after they designed Tomorrowland in Disneyland, they wanted to have some sort of thrilling attraction. When you went to Tomorrowland, there was a lot of futuristic shows and sponsorships, but there wasn't anything really thrilling like the Matterhorn.
Yes.
And they wanted to bring something to the park that would be more thrilling for who else? Like the younger generation of folks, like everybody's trying to please now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the technology just wasn't there at the time. So John Hench designed Space Mountain. He came up with the concept, but they couldn't actually do it because the technology they had available to them at the time just wasn't what they wanted to produce for the park.
If you guys want to read up on John Hench, you can visit the D23 website and it lists all the things that he was involved with and just an incredible story. What I love the most about John Hench is that he really used the philosophy. He not only worked with Walt Disney, but after Walt Disney passed away, he used the methods of how Walt wanted things, like his standards. The D23 lists him as John being Disney's Renaissance artist, imagineer, philosopher, animator, designer, storyteller. Apparently he was a reader of 52 magazines a month. Imagine that.
I mean, I feel like you kind of just flip through magazines.
I don't know. He definitely got his inspiration. That's a lot of reading.
That's true. That is a lot of reading, by the way.
And they say that he was always quick to share the lessons he learned from his own mentor, Walt Disney. He recalled one of those lessons. So, quote, this is John saying, Walt always said, you go down to Disneyland at least twice a month and you walk in front of the entrance. Don't walk through the back. Eat with the people. Watch how they react to the work you've done down there. End quote. This made an enormous difference in how we approached our work.
Yeah, John actually worked for the company until 2004 in his passing. At 95 years old, he still worked full time.
It's crazy.
That's amazing. Like 95 years old. I hope at 95 years old, I still want to work at all.
Right.
Let alone full time somewhere.
Well, it seems like he strongly believed in everything Walt had taught him. Even his assistant said, so his assistant was named Sandy Huskins, and she said that John once said, sometimes John says, quote, tomorrow we're going to the park and we'll go down, stand in line and pretend we're guests. I always come back with a full load of notes.
That's crazy.
End quote. And I really feel like that is why Space Mountain is such an incredible attraction, because it was created with such thought of the guest experience.
Yeah, Walt Disney did a great job of that. He always looked at the attractions from the perspective of the guests, not themselves.
Exactly.
And even Walt Disney used to walk through the park as a guest and go on attractions and wait in line. And that's how you should do things. You should look at it from the guest perspective, because that's where you get the full experience of the attraction itself.
So with all this said, this story about Space Mountain is confusing to a lot of people, because a lot of folks assume or think that Space Mountain originated in Disneyland. The short answer is no, it did not, but sort of, because it actually was the concept was conceived with John Hench, with Walt Disney, but it was such an expensive idea. And with the lack of the technology they had available at the time, it was not easy for them to figure out a way for it to come to fruition. Walt Disney's ideas were so grand that the tools needed to create this Space Mountain was just not available at the time. So, and after, unfortunately, Walt's death, the project formally went on hold.
I only can imagine sometimes what Walt Disney, what ideas or attractions he would come up with the technology that he had available to him today.
I think he would be 20 steps ahead of us. I still think he was that kind of forward thinker, where he would, it still wouldn't be enough. So even though we have come a long way with technology, I feel like in Walt's eyes, we're still not there.
But think of that.
Yeah.
You go on Space Mountain, which Walt had an idea for. Like, he worked with John to come up with the concept. So even though when Walt was alive, it didn't actually come to fruition, it, like, wasn't there.
Yeah.
In his brain, he could probably see what he wanted it to look like.
Oh, for sure.
Imagine that. That was in the 50s and 60s.
Yes.
And we still go on there in 2020 or 2019, right? Wherever you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're listening to this in 2019, but, like, that may be the last time you went on it.
Right.
And it was still an experience that blew your mind.
Yeah.
All these years later. So imagine what he could do with technology that was available to him today and with his creative brain working.
Well, in true Disney fashion, nothing is ever fully scrapped. So the idea was just put on the back burner. It was put on hold for a long time, 10 years. But Walt's original idea for the space coaster was revived when Imagineers decided to be the perfect fit for Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World.
It was, by the way.
It was the best idea. Now, they had a lot of space in Walt Disney World to work with such a structure, which, you know, that has been the basis of Walt Disney World, is that they had a lot more land to work with to fit all the ideas that they had. And this Space Mountain was created, to me, it is the centerpiece of Tomorrowland, even though it's tucked back in the corner.
Well, it's technically outside of the park.
You can see it from the contemporary. It's part of my, I remember growing up and seeing this unique structure and thinking there is something cool going on in there.
You know what? Some people look at the Magic Kingdom and they think of the castle first. Sometimes I think of Space Mountain, the structure, first before I think of the castle.
I do too. That's funny that you said that.
Yeah, it just, when you think of the Magic Kingdom, you have two pictures in your brain. It's either one or maybe even both. You think of, like, the castle dead center, mm-hmm, and Space Mountain to your right.
Right. I love it. Again, speaking of the D23, they shared this vintage photo of guests boarding the rocket ship back in 1975. So when Space Mountain opened first at Magic Kingdom Park in January of 1975, and it says that about 2,000 guests, including several astronauts, attended the dedication of the Walt Disney World Space Mountain in the Magic Kingdom, the first of its kind. You know, this mountain was not only a thrilling attraction, it was the first computerized roller coaster, which has never happened before, and the first indoor roller coaster. So not only is it in Tomorrowland and the setting has to be futuristic and you're blasting off into space, but Imagineers really went full circle, in my opinion, of making it first of its kind on a coaster.
Wow. Imagine being in 1975. That was like before we were born.
Yeah.
Imagine being the person. Do you think they were nervous going on a coaster or an attraction like this,
mm-hmm,
that was run by a computer?
I would say.
Because, like, now you're kind of nervous. Like, when things, yeah, are run fully by computer, even in today's technology terms, I get a little nervous.
Do you?
I do, because, like, you know what?
Or, like, the self-driving cars or whatever. Like, that's,
yeah, I always want to have some sort of human element, right? Like,
yeah,
if something happens, the human can kind of take over. I trust computers, and I know that for the most part, they'll do fine.
Right.
But that's 2020. Imagine what it was like in 1975 when computers weren't what they are today.
Yeah.
I would be like, you know what? Maybe I'll let some other people go on first, make sure they're okay, and then I'll go on after.
The grand opening festivities of the opening, so it was, again, January 15th, 1975. They said a band of 2,000 high school students, fireworks, and the release of, this would never happen today, 50,000 balloons.
I know. Talk about never being able to do that today.
You can never do that today. Moonwalker James Irwin of the Apollo 15 space mission was the first official passenger.
Oh, for, yeah. See?
What's that?
He walked on the moon. He wasn't afraid of no computer technology.
He was ready to go.
That's why he was first. Like, you know what? This guy is going to not be nervous whatsoever. He took a rocket ship to the moon.
Yeah, right. He said that the American people, quote, allowed us to see Earth as a jewel in the blackness of space. Now, all of us can enjoy this wonder because of Walt Disney, end quote.
Even though he wasn't around to see it, which is sad.
I feel like he's seeing it in some form or fashion. Originally, this attraction was sponsored by RCA. So that's a big factor of Walt Disney's attractions. It was always sponsored by something. But I love how they splashed it. They didn't throw it in your face. Because now, as a kid, when I think about riding as a kid, and I read how RCA sponsored the attraction, to me, I was just looking at the Tomorrowland and the House of the Future. I wasn't necessarily thinking, oh, that's RCA. Even though I'm sure that my parents saw the branding, to me, it didn't resonate. And I love that about it.
Now, was that good or bad? Because as a sponsor, you want that to resonate. But as the child, you totally overlooked that.
I think it was good because I think my parents noticed, but it wasn't, again, in your face where the kids noticed too and thought it was like creepy.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to incorporate it, so it's not something that people don't want to go on because they just think it's something that someone paid money to be there.
Sponsored by RCA, Space Mountain had its own theme song that guests would hear in the attraction queue. The song, Here's to the Future. It's a world full of color, of perfect harmony, a world full of music, a living melody. The dreams of tomorrow are beginning today. It's a world of discovery, the world of RCA. Can we do that over? I think I could do a better job.
Is RCA still around today?
I don't know. Is it?
I remember having like an RCA TV. Do you?
RCA was so cool back in the day. I feel like everybody had something from RCA or wanted something from RCA. Huh. They had the Space Mountain. The robot dog was actually RCA's mascot.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's interesting. An interesting little fact there.
Yeah. So
RCA is still around today. I just Googled it.
Did you really?
Yes.
It's still relevant, which is good.
I mean, I don't know how relevant it is. It's around.
Yeah. One thing that I find that I feel like I take for granted a lot in the Walt Disney World attraction, Space Mountain, is the two tracks, Alpha and Omega.
Yeah, you Disneylanders over there on the West Coast who have never been to Disney World don't know what it's like to have two different tracks. I guess you kind of get to choose, but you don't really get to choose from.
Well, here in Walt Disney World, you are told which side to go on. But right. I feel like at least it gives you the opportunity to try the two out on occasion.
We've had some people message us and say they were lucky enough to go on one, maybe on a slow time. And then they went right back on and asked the cast member if they could go on the other one. And the cast member let them do that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should do that.
No.
I'm just saying, like, maybe you can ask. You never know what can happen.
You never know.
I was just on Omega.
Yep, that's true.
Think I can go on the Alpha?
That is true. Disneyland version is a single track, and the mountain is significantly smaller in size to fit in the overall landscape of Disneyland. But I feel like once you're on board, you would never know that Disneyland is actually the smaller of the two mountains.
Only due to the fact that there's just one track on that one.
Only due to that, but when you're riding, it doesn't take anything away from your experience.
Right.
You know, I feel like they are both very comparable to each other. But with Walt Disney World's version, a lot bigger and allowing for more guests to travel, you know, when it's busy, they have both Alpha and Omega open and it's going all day.
Which I'm thankful for because when it's busy and they have both going and they're operating properly, then that's less of a wait time for us.
Exactly. Do you remember, Bruce, your first time riding Space Mountain?
I'm trying to think of when the first time I rode Space Mountain.
Because I remember my experience, my very first. I can close my eyes. I can smell. I can feel the surroundings. I mean, it's like I could bounce back yesterday. It was out of this world.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't remember last week's podcast episode.
I feel like Space Mountain maybe to you, and you know, it's fine. I still love you. But it's like I am sort of obsessed with all things space, space travel. So, and I love roller coasters. So being a kid when I first rode, combining the two was absolutely incredible to me.
I think for me, my first experience on Space Mountain was as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was old.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can technically call me an adult.
Older.
Some would speculate that.
Yeah.
So I think my experiences kind of get meshed, whereas yours happened for you when you were a child, and there was a length of time between when you were a child and you first experienced it to when you got to re-experience it as an adult.
Yeah.
So there was that gap there for you where you can remember going on it with your parents and as a child, whereas for me, it's all happened in the same period of time, so it's they all kind of meshed together.
Got it. Yeah. Well, I just remember, like I said, when I was there, I remember visiting Tomorrowland and just being in awe of the entire area.
What do you mean, remember? Like, I'm still in awe when I go there and I see Tomorrowland and Space Mountain. I'm always like, oh my God, look at that Space Mountain over there.
It is one of the most interesting things I find is that, and I mentioned this in the beginning, was like, they have been able to maintain the futuristic feel of this attraction, even though it's older. I mean, it was built in the 70s.
Yeah, you know what, though? The difference between Disney World and Disneyland is the awe factor, right? When you walk into Disney World's Tomorrowland, you do see Space Mountain right there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that same awe factor in Disneyland. The building itself doesn't stick out as much as it does to me in Disney World.
Well, obviously, right. We talked about it, Disneyland being the smaller park. It couldn't fit the size that Walt Disney World has, mainly because you would be able to see it in right off of Main Street, and they didn't want that. Imagineer didn't. They really want to separate each land as best as they could, which, I mean, speaking of Disneyland, I think they do a great job of that, because even though it's such a small park, when you're in Fantasyland, you're in Fantasyland.
Yeah,
you know,
go to the smallest detail of making sure the treetops are kind of blocking the Matterhorn top.
Right.
From depending on where you're located. Like, they do a great job of that, considering how small Disneyland is.
Back to the first time riding, I remember Space Mountain. The only difference I feel is that the ceiling wasn't covered when I was little. So I feel like that, as much as I love the queue in both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, I think that that's the one element in Walt Disney World that I still kind of miss. And I kind of hope secretly it comes back someday. Because being in the queue, and you, Bruce, never got to experience this, being in the queue and just waiting in line for your boarding pass, the time goes by so much faster, and you're actually enjoying yourself when you actually get to look up and you get to see the comets fly by you.
Yeah, that must have been really interesting.
That was probably the most memorable thing about it, is the anticipation of waiting in line. Remember, back then, no fast pass. You were waiting your turn, you know, just like everybody else. 2 hours was the normal thing. And I remember not only seeing the comets above you, but you actually got to faintly see the attraction kind of glowing up in the distance in the mountain. And it looked, you know, it's not a short coaster by any means, but it looked 1,000 times taller than it actually is, because it was in the dark.
Wow. Now all you get to see is the one rocket ship going by, and you wave to them as they go on before bye-bye. You go to either Omega or Alpha.
Yeah. Make sure you wave, guys. And ask, you know, ask around. I know you got
to
stay.
No, don't wave to me.
Stay 6 feet apart, but you got to, you know, ask your, you know,
There's always that awkward turn for me. You're getting in your rocket ship. If you're tall like I am, you're already kind of squished in there, and then you got to take an awkward turn around everybody staring at you, and they got to wait another half an hour still.
No, that's when you scream, "Woo!"
I don't want any of that. I don't do that.
Oh, see, I'm way more fun. I feel like my true personality comes out on this particular attraction than any other attraction.
So whatever you're really like in real life is what you're like on the rocket ship?
This is how I want to be 24/7.
That's hilarious.
Living my best life, making friends, going to Venus, you know, that kind of thing. What are your... So I know I asked you what your first time was like, but what are some of your favorite moments riding with the kids?
All right, so I have two.
Okay.
Two favorite memories riding with the kids. One of them is a joke they played on me.
the kids.
Yeah, so I had a hat on, right? I was wearing a hat. I would generally usually wear a hat when I go to Disney just because it's sunny and
yes, I want to
not recognize anybody.
That's not true.
I know, I'm just kidding. So I wear my hat on, right? So I put my hat on backwards because I'm afraid, even though it only goes like 28 miles an hour at top speed, which isn't that fast when you think about it, I always feel like my hat's going to fly off. So I put my hat on backwards and we're going up the tunnel to go into the attraction. And as we get to go up on the ramp and get going up, my hat comes flying off. I thought it came flying off. And I'm like, how the heck did my hat come flying off? So I'm like reaching for it. And I come to find out that one of our daughters reached up and grabbed my hat off there and played a joke on me.
She actually put it on.
I know.
And I don't know how she timed that, but we caught it on camera, the picture they take of you on the turn. And it was just done brilliantly. I mean, it was very dangerous in the sense of you could have lost your hat. It was definitely a gamble she was willing to pay.
I thought I lost my hat. I thought I totally lost it in the traction. That's and then the other memory that I have is when our oldest daughter turned 16, we went on there and we had this whole plan to hold up a sign that says "Happy Birthday, Bella." And like the person in the front had what we thought was Bella, and then it would be like birthday and then happy, so it would all look like it was uniform, and we planned it out pretty well. Well, we didn't plan it out pretty well, and we got up to the camera, held up our signs, and it was backwards.
Hey, it was a thought that counts.
Those are my two memories that I always think about from Space Mountain.
My memory with the kids is providing them with glow sticks, and I remember them having glow sticks. I always try to pack. It's in my packing list if you guys want to grab it. I always pack glowing sticks because anything glowy is expensive at the parks, and it's really fun to have something glowing because it gets dark and it's fun. But they had worn their bracelets and they were just illuminating as they were going up the mountain, and they were giggling and laughing, and all I could see was complete darkness. Even though there's comets and all that, it's still really dark, and all I could see was like their little wrists glowing in the light, and I was giggling because it almost made me feel safer, because when you're on this attraction, it's really all man for himself. This is one of the attractions that as soon as they hit the height requirement and they can get on, it's not necessarily comforting because they're in the rocket kind of on their own.
Yeah. I mean, our G too, if you listen to the podcast, you know G. She's been a daredevil her whole life. In the second she was old enough to go on this. Or not old enough, tall enough.
Yeah.
She went on and she wanted to sit in front row.
Yeah.
And that's pretty stressful as a parent when your daughter is sitting in the front row and she's barely tall enough to go on.
Right.
And she doesn't put her hands down.
Never.
So I spent the whole trip kind of making sure she was still there every 2 seconds.
I just remember just staring at the glow stick the entire time going, okay, we're okay, we're okay. And then my second one would be riding in complete darkness. And when they do that overlay where they shut the lights off completely, it's not my favorite per se, because I do love space travel, so I like seeing all the things in the stars as I'm on my rocket. But I think riding in complete darkness is something everybody needs to try at least once, because if you think Space Mountain's fast regularly, you ain't see nothing unless you ride in complete darkness.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy the whole complete darkness all that much.
You didn't like it?
I enjoyed it, but I like to see a little bit and anticipate what we're doing. Sometimes as your body gets older, all of a sudden a quick jerk to the right doesn't do your body good like it did when you were younger.
I've got to share listeners' favorite moments. You guys sent us through Instagram we asked a question, what is your favorite moments riding Space Mountain, and you guys sent us a bunch. I love one from Ethan, always feeling like I'm gonna hit my head.
You know what, that's another question. Do you put your hands up? Because I know our kids put their hands up, but I'm always petrified to put my hands up.
You know what, Bruce, that's gonna be the question of the show at the end of the episode.
Oh, all right,
because that's a really important question.
Hands up or hands down?
All right, this next one is posing. This is from Ella. Posing for the picture the whole time because I can never remember when they take it.
It's right as you come around the corner.
I'm laughing because I feel like that's something I would do.
You know what it is? I know when they take the picture. I always forget which side they take it on.
Yeah, okay. That too.
I only remember we went on with my sister and she totally faced the wrong way and took the picture, and like she's like doing a pose, but it's totally in the wrong direction.
The funniest part was that she didn't mean to do that.
I know. She totally did it because she thought it was the other side.
This next one, getting to ride 2 times in a row with my cousins. Next one is, first time my dad took me on it was my first roller coaster. I love it.
Wow, that's amazing. Imagine your first roller coaster being Space Mountain.
This one is similar to what you were just saying. Riding again on the opposite side and turning the complete wrong way to pose for a photo.
All right. So more people do that than I thought.
My brother screamed the entire ride and the pic caught all of us laughing. My favorite memory. This is from Chrissy. Hearing my boyfriend screaming behind me and laughing so hard that I am crying.
Was he screaming out of fear?
Probably. Oh, speaking of G, our youngest, she actually commented.
All right. What'd she say?
She says, hearing my mom scream a lot.
I do have to say, you are pretty loud on this attraction. I know you said you're living your best life on there, but we can all tell.
Yeah, it's so much fun. This one's from Ryan. The first time I went, I was so scared that my dad held my shoulders from behind.
You know what? The first time G went on as a kid,
yeah,
she wasn't scared, but I was, and I held her shoulders too.
Just to make sure she's there. Like, yeah. It's like one of those things when you hit the right spot on the track. I think it was
Kevin
who said his youngest
Mary
daughter caught air.
Shout out to Mary. Mary, that's amazing. She wants to go on one because she can catch air, she said.
That was the best comment ever.
That is the best.
And, you know, that's coming from back to when I rode as a kid, when you could see the track and you could see a shadow of the rocket up in the air because the ceiling, again, like I said, wasn't covered. That's when my older cousin skipped the line. He was out of there. He saw, as soon as we got into the queue, so we were waiting forever, you know, outside, and then you get in right up to the queue, and then he looked up and said, this isn't for me.
He's out of there?
He was out, so.
That's funny. You waited all that time, and you're not even going to try it?
He was like 5 years older than me, and I would just look, I remember just my cousin and I just kind of in shock because we waited, by that point, it was already an hour wait, and he was out.
Well, for any kids out there listening to this podcast right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good attraction. There's nothing to be scared of. You're very secure in your rocket. It doesn't go as fast as it looks from the outside. You're going to have a great time. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Go on it.
Aw, I like that, Bruce. I like another comment here from a listener. Abby says, the queue music is the best. Bless those space tunnel vibes.
They are the best.
Is there...
You know what? I don't necessarily want to sit there for an hour and a half listening to it, but I like it as I walk on the fast pass line.
It's very calming to me. There's something about that music and the, like she says, the space tunnel vibes. Like there's just very, very intricate music, celestial almost. Like it just brings me to another place. It brings me to space, but also another place.
You know, I enjoy the long walk queue that you have to get, especially if it's not a long line. Like the long walk to get to the attraction. Every time we get in that line and we're walking, it's like everybody's so pumped up and ready to get on it that if there isn't a long line, we're always kind of going through it quick and everybody's like talking and so excited. It's like the best.
All right, here's another little tidbit that did not make it when we unlocked the episode years ago. This is from the Hollywood Reporter, but there's also other places you can find this information. It says Space Mountain movie in the works.
Now, is this a movie about Space Mountain itself or about Space Mountain?
Well, it's a Space Mountain movie in the works with Obi-Wan Kenobi writer. It says that they are working on this movie. It doesn't really give you too much details yet. Because the project is in real early stages.
That's interesting because there's a Haunted Mansion movie that has to do similar to the attraction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also a Tower of Terror movie that has to do something like the attraction. I wonder how they could incorporate Space Mountain into a movie. That's going to be interesting to see.
It says details are being kept hidden amidst the rings of Saturn, but it is described as a family adventure.
All right. Listen, I'm in.
I need to be in. I want to be in.
You want to be in the movie.
This is like the best. I mean, combining my favorite attraction, space travel, and a movie.
Oh.
Oh, man.
I mean, I was just in and watching the movie I met. You actually want to be in the movie.
Can I do that?
I mean, you can try out.
All right. Let's go.
Anything's possible.
All right.
You got to ask. Remember that.
Okay. That's true.
If you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Logistics, height requirements for the Magic Kingdom version. Riders must be 44 inches or taller. But I just realized... In Disneyland, it's only 40 inches. And I think that's because you used to get to sit with an adult side by side in Disneyland versus Walt Disney World, like we talked about. You're in a rocket, kind of in a seat on your own.
You get to sit next to someone. It depends on how old. It doesn't necessarily mean they're an adult.
Here's a quick tip when you're riding either attractions. Never place your cell phone on its own in the pocket.
Yes. And here's another tip for big men out there. never put your cell phone in your pocket.
That too. What happened to you?
It slid right out and I lost it.
So I put my cell phone. I didn't have a bag. I don't know who had my bag, but I just had my cell phone thinking that pocket on the side in Magic Kingdom and in Space Mountain is pretty secure. And so I put my phone in there and we, you know, went through the mountain. I think it was riding Omega actually, which by the way is, I feel faster. When we were done and I went to go grab my cell phone out of the pocket, it was a brand new cell phone, you guys, too. I went to go reach in. I could not find my cell phone. And I started to sweat. I was freaking out because God knows what happened. I mean, you know, you can have whatever case on it, but here in the mountain of space, there's no way there that survived. It was on my feet. Yeah. How did that happen?
I don't know what happens. Like, mysterious things happen to cell phones when they go in. That's why your best bet is to get a string backpack and just stuff everything you own in that backpack that is in your pockets and then hold onto that backpack for dear life.
I know I just mentioned Omega, but which one would you rather ride?
Well, here's a
Alpha or Omega?
Well, here's another thing. An interesting fact is that Omega is 10 feet longer than Alpha.
I thought Alpha was 10 feet longer than Omega.
One's 3,196 feet. The other one's 3,186 feet.
I'm 99% sure it's Alpha's longer.
Are you sure?
You might want to check fact that, but I'm not 100%. I think I'm 99.9% Alpha's the longer one.
All right. Well, I want to go on whichever one's the longer one. Because whatever ride is longer, that's the one I want to go on.
Alpha's, I feel, longer, but Omega, I feel like, is faster. That's the one I feel every time I go on, I have a little bit more... oomph. That's really? The only way I could describe it.
You know what? Now that you've asked me that question a couple times, I haven't noticed.
Oh, I've noticed.
Which side is faster to me? I'm going to have to go do a trip and really figure that out because I don't really know which side is faster to me.
We've got to kindly ask a cast member if maybe we can ride Alpha and then Omega after.
Right after. You got to do it like right after each other so you have it fresh in your memory.
Yes. But I'm going to stick true to my statement that Omega is faster in my opinion.
All right. Well, I'll agree with you on that.
Okay. So which one would you rather ride? It wouldn't matter?
I mean, for right now, you're asking me. I don't know the difference.
Oh, okay.
Other than the length.
Okay. How about this? In your opinion, when is the best time to ride?
Oh, for me, it's either like first thing in the morning.
Why?
Because it's not a long line.
Okay.
Or I don't know, even though it's an indoor attraction, I feel like when you ride at night, it feels like it's at night.
So, great points.
I'm almost like when I ride in the morning and it's a nice sunny day, I come out and I'm like, I feel like I was in a cave for 10 hours and like the sun's killing me.
Well, it does have that effect on you. I definitely agree. You kind of have to put on your sunglasses before you exit.
Yeah, I feel like I was in hibernation for 6 months, even though I was just on Space Mountain for an hour.
Here you go, guys. That's another tip. Put on your sunglasses prior to exiting.
When you come out at night, it's like nice and the Tomorrowland looks amazing at night. You just went on Space Mountain. It's just fun.
I never want to go first thing in the morning, but we always do because the thing about it is that Magic Kingdom, first thing in the morning, you know, you want to hit the big rides first because there is no line. So, of course, we're going to go on Space Mountain, but it doesn't always agree with me. I mean, it doesn't. I've tried everything. I've tried not eating beforehand. I've tried having something light. It doesn't matter. It's not always my favorite thing to do because the sensation of the motion of the attraction after is like doesn't really sit well. But we always do it. But I think if you had to ask me when is my ideal time, take away the fact that, you know, there's no line in the morning. I got to say, just before closing is my favorite.
You get to go on multiple times. Like, there's something about being able to go on at night multiple times in a row. It's like you come off of the excitement of being on Space Mountain. You turn around after you exit and you're like, 10-minute wait, let's go again.
Not in the just there's that mystery that elevates, like, you know, the park's about to close and you're getting away with something. It's like you're getting away with getting to go on your favorite attraction one more time. That's to me that level of excitement that just builds and builds. And then again, when the park does close and you're lucky enough to see Tomorrowland a little empty, it's pretty amazing.
Listen, being able to see any part of the Walt Disney World Park, Magic Kingdom, anywhere at night without people is amazing in itself.
Okay, here's an article that was written by the LA Times in 2015 titled Disneyland 2055. What the future may hold for the original.
I thought you were going to say something else there.
What?
What the future?
What the future may hold. The Family Show guy. For the original Disney park. So they're basically asking what attractions are vulnerable of possibly changing. Will Space Mountain change? They actually list Space Mountain
as changing,
as being vulnerable.
So why?
They're kind of in between. They write, quote, that while a trip to Disneyland would seem incomplete without Space Mountain, the aging coaster hidden inside the pitch black Space Mountain will be a steel dinosaur by 2055.
I'm offended by that statement right there.
Well, they're basically stating that Space Mountain will eventually lose its luster compared to newer attractions like Tron.
Yeah, maybe Small World will lose its luster in Disney World.
I just don't see it. I feel like Space Mountain is one. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I really feel it's always been ahead of its time, and I don't think it's ever going to change.
Well, listen, 2055 is a long way away.
Maybe.
Right? Like in technology years, with the technology that we're going to have in the next 35 years.
When people are actually going to Mars, you mean?
It may be a dinosaur then. You never, you know, maybe Tron will too, though.
That is a good point.
So you never know what's going to happen, but I'm just enjoying it now, and I think that it's been around. For how many years has it been around?
Too many.
40 years?
Did I just say too many?
Yeah,
I mean a long time.
A lot of years.
Not too many.
And I look at our daughter's face, who's only 13 now, but
yeah.
The first time she was able to go on, she was probably 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And for her, that was a very thrilling attraction. It didn't matter when it came out. It just meant to her, it was thrilling in that moment.
It's just like, to me, it blends everything I think about when I think about Walt Disney World. It's also kind of has that flair of Epcot to it too, like the future, like the best is yet to come, traveling to the unknown, really exploring. That to me is the essence of life, and that's what gives me life. So I appreciate this attraction in all in its entirety for that reason.
We'll have to redo it in 2055 and see what we say then. Subscribe to the podcast for that episode 35 years from now.
Okay, Bruce, I've got to do this to you. This is from the Disney Park blog. How well do you know Space Mountain at Walt Disney World Resort?
So not that well.
I want you guys to play along. You can. Maybe we'll have Bruce pause for his answer for a second to give you guys time.
Or they could just hit the pause button.
They could, but, you know, sometimes if you're driving, it's not easy to do.
All right, I'll pause.
Okay, number one, how tall is Space Mountain at Magic Kingdom Park? 200, 150, or 180 feet? Go.
Is that pause long enough?
I think so.
200 feet.
180 feet.
Oh, I knew that. Was that, did you say Disney World?
This is for Disney World.
Okay.
All right, next one. Which astronaut joined the creative team when developing Space Mountain? You know, that's a fun little secret that most don't know. They really wanted to bring that element of space travel into this attraction. So is it Gordon Cooper or Pete Conrad?
Gordon Cooper.
Oh, good job. Did you Google that?
I did not.
I feel like I could hear you typing
that. Well, I remember that from, we just did a video on YouTube about Space Mountain, and okay. I remember reading that.
Okay.
So I technically cheated, but not right now.
Number three, what's the maximum speed of Space Mountain? You guys, that was a secret we shared in our YouTube video that Bruce just mentioned. It's actually slower than you might think.
I think it's 28 miles an hour.
What's the maximum speed? 17, 27, or 11 miles per hour?
11 miles an hour.
It's 20.
It's actually really slow. You don't recognize it.
All right, I'm going to wait. But it's 27 miles per hour. I thought it was 28, but this is from the park's blog.
Maybe I think its max speed is 28, like the most it could go.
Mm. That's still, I mean, when you think about it, doesn't it make you feel like you're going 100 miles an hour?
It does, because drive up your street going 28 miles an hour, it feels pretty slow.
Right?
You know, but when you're in the complete darkness, you got kids screaming all around you, you can't see where the turns are coming.
Yep.
You don't know what's happening next.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in Disney World, everything's more exciting.
Okay, this is an easy one. What area of Magic Kingdom Park can you find Space Mountain? Frontierland, Fantasyland, or Tomorrowland?
I'm not even answering this question.
Well, hey, look. You know, if you think about it, it can fit in Fantasyland. It is a fantasy world. And Frontierland, it is kind of rough and rugged.
No, Frontierland never. Fantasyland, I could see, I guess. But it's definitely in Tomorrowland. That's my answer, Connie.
Okay.
Am I correct?
You are correct. And you were paying attention to the podcast. And the last one, number five, when did Space Mountain open at Magic Kingdom Park? 1981, 1971, or 1975?
Again, this is the pause. I know the answer to this one. And the answer is 1975.
Correct, Bruce. Okay, the last and the most, I think this is the most important question to ask yourself when going on to Space Mountain. Do you ride with your hands up?
Okay.
Or do you ride with your hands down? Now, more importantly, when you're drawn into that swirling wormhole, it's pretty intense. What do you do?
So I do a couple different things.
Okay.
My initial thought is to put my hands up. And then I put my hands up, and then all my courage for putting my hands up goes right away as I come down. And I have to pull them down as fast as I can.
And you're a pretty tall guy. I worry not even about your hands. I worry about your head.
I know, because here's the thing. When you're going through the tunnel, the blue one in the beginning and the red one at the end, I can reach up and touch the top of that.
Ew.
Not that I have.
But
yes,
no.
I have.
Wait, can you feel it?
Yes, I can feel the top. It's just plastic.
Okay.
So that goes through my brain when we're going down. Because in my head, I'm like, we're going up the hill, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to put my hands up. There's no way Disney hasn't had somebody that's my height test this thing out and make sure that a rather tall gentleman can put their hands up and not get him hit any bar.
Not hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like that goes through my brain. And then I'm like, get to the top and we're going down. And I'm like, but what if they didn't? And I pull my hands down real quick.
So that's that?
Yeah. So my answer is I want to, but I don't.
My answer is the same.
But I know our kids do.
They love it. Especially G. She loves
no fear.
She loves putting her arms up. She doesn't care. One thing I have to say that is very commendable, I would say the last probably year or two, this is how I know my family really loves me. Whenever we ride, they always offer me the front seat.
Yeah, we do let you go in the front. It's like, listen, when you the first couple trips, you want to get a shot at going in the front.
Yeah.
But it's like the Millennium Falcon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's
only really fun if you're in the front. Captain of the ship.
I want to say thank you for that. I mean, I think that is the most intense part because you can't see anything. There's nothing in front of you, but I really appreciate it.
I feel the most vulnerable in front. I don't want to sit in the front.
Oh, is that why you guys offer it? You guys are scared?
I mean, that's why I offer it.
Oh, so it's not about love. It's just about, hey, if she's going down.
No, we love you.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, that's going to do it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it put a smile on your face. I hope you think of this next time you ride Space Mountain. And we hope you like it.
Yeah, do us a favor. We're going to give you away a t-shirt. We give away a t-shirt from our show almost all the time. Our YouTube channels and right here. Screenshot you listening to this episode. Tag us on Instagram, unlockingthemagic.com. No, not unlockingthemagic.com. Unlocking the Magic Podcast on Instagram. Tag us. Share it on your stories or your feed, and we'll pick a winner for this week for a free t-shirt of your choice from our store.
I love it.
Yeah, also don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We actually just did a video this week, if you're listening to this when it comes out, about 5 fun facts of Disney's Space Mountain.
So much fun. I love learning about my favorite attractions, but this one, hands down, it's like the three, right? So you guys ask me what my three favorite, it's always going to be Space Mountain, Tomorrowland Transit, Authority People Mover, and Haunted Mansion.
All right. Throw Pirates of the Caribbean in there, and I'm with you.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. If you want to reach out to us, like I mentioned, we're Unlocking the Magic Podcast on Instagram, unlockingthemagic.com, and info@unlockingthemagic.com if you want to send us an email. And you know what?
What's that?
You should check us out on Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be doing a lot of live shows in there, some extra podcast episodes.
You're asking a lot support,
I didn't ask anything. I said, we're going to give you a t-shirt. Here's what you got to do to get it.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. And then I said, if you want to check us out on Patreon, you can if you want. But you don't have to.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
We're even on TikTok now. People are finding us there.
Yeah. I kind of don't want to say that, though.
Why?
Because I want to see how TikTok goes on its own before we mention it on the podcast.
Gotcha. You want to feel out its algorithm.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to experiment over there before we tell everybody, which you already forget it. You're on TikTok.
Sorry.
So go check us out, Unlocking the Magic, if TikTok's your thing.
TikTok is my thing.
All right. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.